the 3 weeks of Lent that we celebrate last Sunday, this Sunday, and the following Sunday have these extended readings from the Gospel of St. John. Last week we heard about the encounter of the woman at the well. Today we get the man born blind, and next week we'll hear of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. These beautiful readings from the A cycle of readings that we get every 3 years are really some of the most beautiful passages in Scripture. John really knows how to tell a good story, to present just kind of the dynamics of what is going on here. I particularly like today's gospel with this questioning of the man born blind. Because notice that the miracle is actually a very small part of it. He's blind, Jesus rubs saliva in the dirt, smears it on his eyes, go wash, and he's healed. And the entire rest of the gospel is about this very legalistic kind of testing of the miracle, trying to find out, okay, is this really a miracle? What really happened? And to some extent, it kind of now speaks to me in a different way as a lawyer, because it all looks very legalistic to me. There's a miracle which seems to defy all laws that we know of nature, and yet we have this legal battle that goes on. First, is this really him? Well, we're not sure. It looks like him. Let's identify it. We have to identify, okay, who's involved? And then they're questioning back and forth. Give us your testimony. And he says, this is what happened. All right, well, let's question him again. Question him again. See if his story matches up again. All right, he said the same story twice. Well, maybe he wasn't really blind. That's it. He wasn't really blind from birth. Get his parents. Question them. Bring in more witnesses. And the parents come, and the parents are very careful. It looks like almost like they had legal counsel or something. Because they come, and they're like, is this your son? Yes, this is our son. How does he now see? We can't say. We will say two things. We will stipulate to A, he is our son, and B, we know he was born blind, and it's as if their attorney told them, don't say anything more than that, that you might incriminate yourself. And there's this entire back and forth, but in the end, it is completely verified. Yes, this man was born blind. Yes, Jesus anointed his eyes with mud mixed with saliva. And yes, definitively, he now sees. Those are the facts of the case, and it is beyond proven by the end of it. I like this kind of questioning, though. I used to maybe get mad at this because I think a miracle happened. Okay, can we just let it go and say, praise God, there was a miracle. Why do we have to get so testy about it? But you know, then I got thinking as I studied canon law and the history of the church that the church is actually pretty slow to believe miracles. I think sometimes we as people of faith get accused of finding miracles all over the place. Anytime there's something we can't explain, well, we call it a miracle. Sometimes people proclaim that they see Mary and their mashed potatoes at dinner, or some water stain on an overpass sure does look like Jesus has come. All right, then it makes us all look a little bit silly to say that we're seeing the saints and Mary popping up all over the place. Fair enough. But we don't really do that very often as Catholics. In fact, Catholics especially have always been the ones to be skeptical, to question. That's why some of the greatest scientists in the history of the field have been Catholics. Copernicus, who proclaimed that, in fact, no, the sun is the center of the universe and the earth goes around it. He's a Catholic priest. He looked at the stars and said, I want to know. And he discovers, no, the sun moves. The earth moves, not the sun. Or you look at the founder of modern genetics, Gregor Mendel. He's an Augustinian monk. He founds modern genetics. Or Georges Lemaître, a Catholic priest who comes up with the Big Bang Theory. Great physicists like Father Robert Spitzer, who speaks today. And although I've had a lot of physics, when Father Spitzer speaks, all I know is someone really smart is talking about the universe, and he still believes in God. And it's amazing. Catholics do not just blindly accept things we don't understand because we'll just accept it on blind faith. No, Catholics are the one to say, I'm skeptical. Show me. I'm going to look into it. I want to find out the reasons, because deep down as Catholics, we know we have nothing to fear from scientific inquiry. We will never find evidence to disprove God. We know the deeper we look, the more we look at the created the world with our scientific minds, the more that it creates admiration for the Creator and what He's done. So, as I looked at this kind of skeptical inquiry into this supposed miracle of the man born blind, I actually felt a little bit of appreciation. You might not realize this, but in canon law, there is actually a trial, a process that takes place to verify a miracle. The church starts by saying, we don't think so. Maybe, but we're skeptical. There's an entire office at the Vatican, a congregation for the causes of saints. You may realize that in order for someone to be canonized a saint, ordinarily, there have to be two miracles that take place through the intercession of that saint. Now people might think, well, you Catholics, you come up with all kinds of things to count as miracles. Not true. There's a very serious inquiry to determine whether or not a miracle will be accepted for the canonization of a saint. I got to visit the Dicastery, the Congregation for the Causes of Saints, about this time last year with my canon law class. And we met with an official there who happened to be the one that interviewed a doctor who witnessed the miracle that led to the canonization of Mother Teresa. He had been sent out to question a doctor about a supposed miracle. A lot of times with the canonization of saints, the proposed miracle is some kind of miraculous healing through the intercession of the saint. Well, this happened down in South America, where the person went down to interview the doctor who witnessed it. And now this doctor was not Catholic. In fact, he wasn't even Christian. The doctor involved in the case was an atheist. And so he was a little edgy about even giving testimony to the church. But the official said, I assured him, I'm not here to talk about Mother Teresa. I'm not here to talk about saints or religion. All I want is your medical expertise, your testimony. So the doctor testified that here's what happened. A man went into a coma with a serious kind of brain anomaly. And after the course of about a month of being in a coma, the way the person described it, the fluid starts building up on the brain, and the place in the bottom of the skull where the fluid naturally drains out, it got plugged up, to put it simply. And there were all kinds of lesions and damage to the brain taking place. They really thought he was going to die. They knew he would die if they didn't operate immediately. So they rush him into emergency surgery to fix this problem, not even knowing if he's going to be able to survive. They get everything ready to go, and they find out that they are missing a key piece of medical equipment. It's not a first world kind of city, and so they're missing a piece of equipment. And so the doctor has to go and find it. In the meantime, the man's wife and I think sister go down the street to the local Catholic church, and there they beg the intercession of that time blessed Teresa of Calcutta, that Mother Teresa would intercede for her husband. A half hour later, the surgeon comes back, and they find that the man is sitting up in the operating room, and he asks the doctor, what am I doing here? And the doctor is amazed. They do all kinds of tests, and they find out that the man is completely healed. The inoperable total damage to his brain, gone. The problem they were trying to fix, gone. He has been in a coma for a month. Now he is lucid and up. He's like, why am I here? And he literally walks out of the hospital, and he is fine to this day. This is an atheist doctor that testifies, and he says, that's what I saw. I can't explain it. I'm just telling you, that's it. That's what happened. There is no explanation. Another miracle that happened more recently, in fact, last year, really, this time with a blindness fitting for our gospel today. A woman in Phoenix also had a bit of a brain problem that began to press on her optic nerves, and she lost sight in her right eye, and last year in January, lost sight in her left eye as well. She was a young mother with children. She was very distressed that she could no longer see her kids and had this terrible disability now that she was blind. And the doctors told her that there was no hope, that they had done the test and taken the pictures and The damage had crushed the place where the optic nerve meets with the eye, and unfortunately, they said when that happens, there is no way to fix it. It's permanent. There is no hope for the return of sight. Well, a little while later, the woman's sister realizes that the relics of Saint Charbel of Lebanon are coming to the parish church nearby and urges her sister to go to invoke the intercession of Saint Charbel that she could regain her sight. Of course, a faithful woman, I'll try anything. She wasn't familiar with Saint Charbel even, but took the words of those around her and said, "I will go pray." And she did on Saturday afternoon. Sunday morning at 4 a.m., she wakes up and tells her husband that her eyes are just burning. She calls her ophthalmologist and sees the ophthalmologist on Monday after going to Mass on Sunday. Ophthalmologist says, after taking a bunch of pictures, your eyes are completely damaged. You're blind and there's nothing we can do. But 2 days later, with her sight restored, she goes to another ophthalmologist who says, "Your vision's 20/20. Why are you here?" Goes back to the first one. The ophthalmologist is floored, takes more pictures, and just compares one to the other, and like, "Well, there's no damage. You can see perfectly. What happened?" "I went, I prayed, and invoked the intercession of Saint Charbel." This time, the church again calls in a doctor. The doctor is able to look at the evidence. They look, say, "We've got pictures. I'm looking at the picture of the eye on Saturday that is hopelessly damaged. The eyes on Tuesday are perfect. What happened?" "A miracle," we would say. Fine. We've got a miracle. A miracle with this man through the intercession of Mother Teresa. A miracle with this woman who was healed in Phoenix just last year. A miracle of this man born blind in the gospel. Not easily accepted. We can't explain it, so it's a miracle. But hard scientific evidence that says we've done all we can. We have no explanation. Now here's the thing. That's not enough. We can say, there's all the evidence. We see it. And for you and I, we might say, "Praise God. It's a miracle. Look what God did." It doesn't always happen that way. That the atheist doctor in the case of Mother Teresa, he's still an atheist. He didn't actually convert, even after seeing what he saw. It doesn't always happen that way. Look at the Pharisees in the gospel today. They see all this. They get all the evidence. They have all the testimony. And their thought is, "This is bad. People are going to believe in Jesus because of this. We got to try to hide the evidence. We got to try to get rid of this guy. You can't talk about it. People will believe in Jesus if this gets out." Why don't they believe in Jesus? They saw it. And yet their response is, "We got to hide this. We can't have this." Now, in the case of the woman in Phoenix, the doctor involved there, her faith increased. She says, now in her practice, she always remembers to pray for her patients and considers that just as important as her medical training. So we see the same evidence, the same pointing to an inexplicable miracle, and yet different responses. So what about us? What happens when we are confronted with these stories? Well, probably a lot of us are here because we've begun to expect that, yes, God can do these kinds of things. We expect sometimes that God will do the miraculous. In fact, to the point that we almost want to see miracles when maybe there are reasonable explanations. But what do we do when there is no reasonable explanation and it seems that God has allowed a miracle? Well, I think you and I are here tonight because hopefully we are able to marvel and praise God, just the way Georges Lemaître did, the way Copernicus did, the way Gregor Mendel did. They test and they find the creator behind everything. And they praise God because of what he has done. I think that's our reaction. But I think we have to be very grateful then to say, it wouldn't have to be that way. What makes us different than the Pharisees or the atheist doctor? I think we have to say we've been given a great gift, that we are able to see the evidence, but then that next step, that's a gift, to be able to be open enough to say, okay, I've got all the evidence. I surrender. I think God did this. No amount of evidence can make that happen. I said in the beginning, no amount of evidence will disprove God. But at the same time, no amount of evidence alone will make someone a believer. There is this beautiful, mysterious step that happens in there that is also something to praise God for. Notice what happens with this man born blind. He doesn't understand Jesus. He doesn't know about Jesus. And then he meets him. And Jesus asks him a very important question. Not, how are your eyes doing? How is it to see? Are you thankful? He doesn't ask them any of that. He asks them, do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe? And we've talked about that word believe for. It means to give the heart. It means much more than intellectual assent. Jesus is asking him, okay, your eyes are restored. Now what? Do you believe? Are you willing to take that next step that no amount of evidence can force you to take? And the man, to his credit, says, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? And then much as the woman in the well last week asked a similar question, when is this Messiah coming? The man born blind wants to know, who is this Son of Man that I can believe in him? Jesus says, you have seen him. The one speaking with you is he. And at that point, the magic happens. He's had all the evidence. He knows what has happened. He's now received the invitation to take that evidence and turn it into faith. And the man says, I do believe. And he worshiped him. I believe, and he worshiped. No one can force that man to make that step. He could have been very grateful that his eyes were healed. He might have thought that Jesus was an incredible healer, a mystic. But you don't worship someone like that. He says what all of us said in our baptism when asked, do we believe in God the Father? Do we believe in Jesus Christ? Do we believe in the Holy Spirit and his church? I do believe. And we worship. It's a beautiful moment that we're here then because of this. These miracles that happen, they are beautiful. They increase perhaps our faith because we know the loving God who's behind them. But we witness miracles all the time. Maybe ones we don't even realize. The question then for us is, what difference will it make in our lives? It made no difference in the lives of the Pharisees or this atheist doctor. We witnessed the miracle of the Eucharist at every Mass. Every Mass, ordinary bread and wine turn into God, and we get to receive him. It's a miracle. But what then? No amount of evidence, no amount of Eucharistic miracles, and we know there are plenty of those, where the priest says, this is my body, and that piece of bread turns into a piece of flesh that science can look at and say, "That's where'd you get this? It's a piece of heart tissue." Or the priest says, this is my blood over a normal cup of wine, and it turns into blood, type AB, that science verifies. We can see those miracles over and over, but what difference? No amount of evidence will be enough to force us to say to the Eucharist, I do believe, and to worship. So tonight we're here, perhaps because we've seen miracles, perhaps because we find the evidence convincing. Okay, all well and good. There's a lot of evidence for our faith. Beautiful. But let's give thanks also for the mystery that allows you and me to take all that evidence and then confront it with Jesus asking us, do you believe? Do you believe? Not do you accept the evidence, sure we accept it, but do you believe? And so tonight, in the presence of this great miracle of the Eucharist, we are not blind believers. Our eyes are open, we see. And Jesus asks us then, with the eyes of faith, do you believe? And like the man born blind, I pray that our response might be, I do believe, Lord. And now let us worship him.